The fourth of the kinyanim, the attributes that I mentioned, is known as Binas Halev. Actually, there are a number of different girsaos when it comes to this part of the Braisa. In some versions of Pirkei Avos, you may find only Binas Halev mentioned, the understanding of the heart. In others, you may have, instead of Binas, Sichlus, or Sichlus Halev. And, excuse me, and in some other versions of the Pirkei Avos, you may have actually both Binas and Sichlus Halev, understanding and discernment. Rashi actually comments, Rashi does, that he's not really sure what the difference is between Bina and Sichlus, although some of the Mefarshim here on Avos who have both phrases do try to find subtle differences between them. But for our purposes, what's important to note is that whether you have one or both, everyone in their counting, their enumeration of the 48, lists these as one, whether it's Binas Halev, Sichlus, or both. And the question is, what do either or both of these phrases teach us about learning, about Kinyan Torah, and about life? So some Mefarshim explain that what in essence is being demanded of us is what we might call colloquially Limud Bi'un, not simply Bikius, not running through superficial learning, rather in-depth learning which comes from greater understanding. The Maharal in the Derech HaChaim writes beautifully, Sheyitein da'ato v'libo al davar shalomeid. A person must put all of his mind and his heart into whatever he's learning, and as a result, v'yavin v'libo heitev. He'll truly understand the learning in a very significant and deep way. You really have to put all of your efforts, all of your body, your soul, your mind, your heart, put everything into your learning, learn it with great depth, so you can truly understand it. Rav Yaakov Emden in the Lechem Shemayim, commenting on the phrase Kavanas Halev, another version of the Girsa, says you need to focus. Shelo Yilmod Kimis Asek. You can't just go through the motions, kind of half there, half present, half not there. As we might say, you can't daven up your learning. That's not a nice phrase, certainly not for what it applies about davening, but I think the point nevertheless is understood, that learning requires something much more slow, much more contemplative, much more thoughtful, much more deep, much more filled with analysis. The Lechem Shemayim also says, commenting on Bina Salev, that it is what we often refer to as the definition of Bina, Mevin Davar Mitoch Davar. It's not enough to just get to the heart of it, to learn with great concentration, but to understand the underlying principles of what you're learning so that you can then apply those to other scenarios. Mevin davar, mitoch davar. From one thing that you have learned, you can learn and anticipate something else. Rav Chaim Volozhiner in the Ruach HaChaim makes the point that this type of learning is a natural companion to the previous one of the things that we've learned, Arichas Sefasayim. That is to say, it's not enough, as important it is to verbalize the learning, the Braisa is teaching us it's not enough to just verbalize the learning if you don't understand it. You must have Bina, and only with the Bina, which will result from your verbalizing, but in a reciprocal relationship, through the Arichas Sfasayim that will lead to Bina, but you can only benefit from the Arichas Sfasayim if you have learned it in depth with Bina. The Pasuk in Mishlei, quoted here as a support for this idea, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel, that you need both the Lev Chacham Yaskil Pihu, that the Lev Chacham is someone who articulates things and has real knowledge of things, Yaskil Pihu, Lev Chacham, and as a result, Asfasav Yosif Lekach. And then, through the verbalization, through the articulation, will even be greater understanding. So you have the Bina leading to the Yaskil Pihu, and then the Asfasav reciprocating and leading to the Yosef Lekach. In a somewhat similar way, but with a slightly different focus, the Medrash Shmuel, consistent with what he said in the previous attribute, L'shitaso, the Medrash Shmuel sees this as connected to Arichas Sfasayim, but like there, too, here as well, he connects this to the importance of review, of Chazara. and using the girs of Sichlus, Sichlus Halev, the Medrash Shmuel says that in essence what we're saying is when you do your review, which the Medrash Shmuel said was very, very important, that we should be reviewing and reviewing by verbalizing and articulating our learning. But says the Medrash Shmuel, what we see from this is akin to what we saw a moment ago, that when you're doing your reviewing, however, specifically when it comes to reviewing, you cannot do it by rote. It cannot just be mitzvahs anashim yulumada, just by rote, without deep thought. Again, davening it up, as we might say. Because then you'll just forget. It won't have the benefit. Rather, you have to review, says the Medrash Shmuel, with sichlus, kavanas halev, and havanas hadvarim. The review itself has to be done with great focus and concentration. And I think this is, again, it's very similar to what we saw previously, but there is an additional dimension here, because I think the same reason that many of us have a Yetzer Hara not to review, because we feel like we know it already, it's not as interesting or as exciting, that Yetzer Hara can adapt, and even if we go to the bother of actually reviewing our learning, we often will do that, though, with much less effort and concentration than we had to put in when we first learned that material. Now, it's hard to imagine that you could have the exact same level of concentration or effort, given that the first time you learned it, you didn't know it, so you take, certainly there's a qualitatively different level of effort that's required to understand something initially. Reviewing something you already understand, I don't think it's realistic to assume that that can require the exact same level of effort or concentration, but nevertheless, I think what the Medrash Shmuel is saying should not be underestimated, and that is that if we're going to review, we're going to go to the bother of Chazara, for the Chazara to actually be valuable, it can't just be mindless repetition. Rather, it should be, as he put it, done, even the review should be done with Kavana, Sichlus, and Havanas Hadvarim. He has a beautiful interpretation in light of this, of the Pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yudbet, Karov Eilecha Hadavar, Beficha Ubilvavcha. This, the matter should be close to you, in your heart, and in your mouth. Reverse the order, more specifically, Beficha in your mouth, Ubilvavcha in your heart. So says the Medrash Shmuel, when is the Torah Karov Eilecha? When will the Torah be truly close to you? When will you really have a kinyan in Torah? Only if it is beficha, it is reviewed and articulated, but bilvavcha, done with binas halev, done with understanding. So again, it's this combination of reviewing and verbalizing your review, but only through and with bina and sichlus, understanding and concentration and depth. Another idea that is suggested, again by Rav Yaakov Emden, another idea that he suggests in the Lechem Shemayim, using the gears of Sichlas Halev, he says something a little bit different, but similar to what we've already seen. What is it referring to, he says? Haroe ba'ayin halev. Someone who sees something with his heart's eye, kalomar meaning to say, tzarech lios maskil. We have to be a maskil. And again, what does that mean? So finally, he gets to the punchline. Roe belibo omek hadavar leheichan magia kol hanimshach v'hanola bimenu. Says the Lechem Shemayim, what sichlus requires, this extra level of insight and concentration and in-depth learning, so that we can anticipate, through the depth of our learning, leheichan magia, where are things going to lead? Kol hanimshach v'hanola bimenu. And this seems to be great, great advice, both in terms of learning, anticipating for each step of the sugya, how it will lead to the next one, as much as we can. We can't always anticipate it, but certainly we should try to play things forward. If the Gemara meant this, what does that lead to? And if the Rishon said this, what would that lead to? What conclusions would that lead to? L'heichan magia kol hanimshach v'hanolad mimenu. But of course, it's also great advice for living a good life. Ezehu chacham haroes hanolad. The ability to pause and think about things with depth and clarity, and as much as one can do so reasonably, anticipate the next steps or the results of said actions or experiences. This course is a recipe, as we are taught by Chazal, of being a chacham, of having a wise and successful life. I think it's not only true in learning, but obviously in life as well. Another interpretation of this idea, completely different than what we have mentioned until now, is suggested in the commentaries to Perkei Avos by both Rabbi Lau and his Yechel Yisrael, and in the commentary of Perkei Avos put out by Rabbi Dr. Abraham Tversky, who both are bothered, or at least take note of the fact that to describe something which heretofore has been something of an intellectual pursuit, how to learn with depth, with insight, with anticipation of future events or consequences, how come the term binat halev, why the term lev, why do we mention the heart? Should it just have been bino or sichlus or hamoach, of the mind, why halev? Now, of course, it's true that there are a plethora of examples in Tanakh where you can find the term lev being used in an intellectual context, but I guess that just begs the question, not just on Pirkei Avos or this Brisa in Kinyan Torah, but anywhere in Tanakh, why would the phrase lev, the heart, be used in this context if heart, usually in our mind, is associated with emotions? So both Rabbi Tursky and Rabbi Lau suggest that what is being hinted at here is something completely different. Not how we learn, but how we should not learn, or how we should not make judgments. That is to say, that the human condition is such that there is enormous potential for our emotions to bias and cloud our judgment, whether it's the learning of a sugya or the learning of a life sugya, analyzing a life situation. We all like to think that we're rational and analytic and can approach things in an objective way, but you don't have to be a psychiatrist like Rabbi Tursky to know that the human condition is far more complicated than that. If we're honest, we see that in ourselves, and certainly we see that in other people, where they make all sorts of decisions or do things which often, to us, make no sense or are indefensible. And it's pretty clear that the only reason that people are doing or not doing certain things is not because they thought them through in a clear way, but rather they're allowing their emotions to cloud or to bias their judgment. And therefore, says Rabbi Tursky and Rabbi Lau, what the term binas halev or sichas halev is coming to tell us is that we must do our best not to let this happen. We have to keep our intellect true. We have to try to remain an even keel. And that the key to wisdom is for our logic and our rationality and our learning to be in control of our emotions and not have our emotions in control of our logic or our mind. Obviously, this is something, whether or not the other Mefarshim agree that this is the interpretation of our Brisa, but certainly as a life advice and a life insight, this is certainly a truism and something that is far easier said than done. But nevertheless, very, very good advice, sound advice, I think, as we all have to consider. Some of us are more prone to being tripped up by this than others, but I think all of us, by just the nature of being human, by definition of being human, are potentially vulnerable to this problem where we don't do what really we would know otherwise is best, but in fact allow emotions to dictate. They don't add this, but I would add that this is one of the reasons why it is often, not necessarily always, required, but often a good idea, especially when making a very important decision, to get advice or at least to talk it over with someone who is not as personally affected or impacted as you are. It could be a rabbi or a rav, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. It can be a parent, a spouse, or any other wise person whose opinion and intelligence you respect, who is not going to have the emotional investment in the situation that you might. They often can be good sounding boards because they're less likely to have their emotions conflict with the analysis of the situation, whereas if you are yourself going through the situation, that might be much more complicated for you to be able to do. So sometimes it's very, very helpful to get extra and outside advice for this very reason. Last but not least, I'd like to share an idea which more or less I guess I'll take responsibility for. It's my own idea. It's similar. I don't think it's the exact same, but it is very similar to an idea that Rav Moshe Lichtenstein included in a brief article that he published in Hebrew on the VBM when the yeshiva a number of years ago put out a series on the Kinyanei Torah. So Rav Moshe Lichtenstein, now the Rosh Yeshiva, put out a small piece on Binat Halev, and you can find this on the yeshiva's website, the Hebrew VBM. It's not exactly what we'll say here, but definitely similar. And that is, I'd like to suggest that rather than, as Rabbi Lau and Rabbi Tursky suggested, that there is a conflict between rationality and emotion, between thinking rationally and thinking emotionally, and therefore having the logic or rational part of ourselves control or overcome the emotional part, as we saw previously, but rather instead I would suggest it's not a conflict, but rather it is the combination of the two. That is that it's important in learning, especially when paskening a shaila or other such things, that we have to understand the human element or the human dimension. This is sometimes referred to as the fifth chelek of the Shulchan Aruch. Not just seeing all the objective information, all the objective facts which might be included in the four sections of the Shulchan Aruch, but rather seeing the human element in the situation and understanding the more intangible and supple and flexible parts of the question or of the sugya, again, what's sometimes referred to as the fifth chelik of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, it must be reiterated and clear that anyone giving a psak or anything like that must always be grounded, first and foremost, in the sources, in the four halakim of Shulchan Aruch. But we have to realize that there is a Torah Chesed in addition to the Torah Emes. It's not enough to just say this is what it says in the sources and this is my reading of the sources. That's absolutely necessary, but it is insufficient. There needs to be a Torah Chesed that is layered on above and in addition to that Torah Emes. And all great poskim throughout the centuries have had this. Just to take two relatively recent examples, not to the exclusion of other people necessarily, but two prominent examples of recent decades, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. You read their psukim, both the ones that have been published, as well as ones that have been orally transmitted, and you see clearly that in addition to their absolute mastery of the four halakim of Shulchan Aruch and of all of Shas and all of Torah, but there was also tremendous insight and awareness of and a willingness to incorporate often that fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch, the human dimension, as well. And there's a certain intuition and human sensitivity that they brought to bear in their psakim and in their learning. Now, on the one hand, it's intuitive, very human. On the other hand, it's important to realize that this is an intuition that has been refined by thousands and thousands of hours of immersion in Shas and in Shulchan Aruch. It's not just something that made sense to them. It's that their sense, their intuition, was the product not only of them being sensitive human beings, perhaps by nature or by birth, but by having immersed themselves for decades of their lives, for thousands and thousands of hours, in Shas, Shulchan Aruch, Poskim, so that the ideal Posek, we should realize, I think it's sometimes mistakenly understood, and ideal Posek is not the one who can come closest to being a robot or producing the psak that the ideal super halachic computer would produce, which in essence, if we think about it, really is saying that ideal posek would be one who suppresses or eliminates their humanity as much as possible, who can come closest to being a robot or a computer. I think that that is not the case. And this Braisa and many other Makoros indicate that, in fact, that would be a mistake. Bina Salev requires a whole host of other forms of knowledge and intuition and judgment, including an awareness and sensitivity to the human dimension. That does not always mean that because you have the sensitivity to the human dimension, the Binas Halev, that will produce a heter, or a more lenient position than you might otherwise. It may even often, or maybe the dry sugya, the actual text, may lend itself more to a leniency, a more permissive ruling. But with a post-stakes awareness of the people involved, or the human situation, or the culture, or the society involved, maybe the more correct psak will be one that's more restrictive. It can go in either way, quite honestly. As the Gemara in Erevin Davvav tells us, anyone who only goes mikulei beishamai umikulei beishilel, someone who's always looking for leniencies, and again, in our situation, one could easily, perhaps, although I would think disastrously and mistakenly, lie to themselves, let alone to other people, and say that the reason that they're always coming out with lenient rulings is because of this Bina Salev, the sensitivity to the human dimension, etc., etc. But the Gemara says unequivocally that anyone who always rules Mikule Beishamai, Mikule Beisil, someone who always ends up producing a heter, always produces a kula, the Gemara says is no less than a Rasha, a wicked person, a very harsh and stark judgment that the Gemara produces. It is obvious and clear that anyone with an ounce of it, halachic integrity, will not be able to always produce leniencies. If you're always going after the kule beis shammai and beis hillel, clearly that bespeaks a lack of honesty and halachic integrity. So that can't mean what Bina Talev means. But nevertheless, it is true, I think, that one ought to and one must, and one is legitimate, to say the least, to consider all forms of all the impacts and everything that will be impacted and touched and connected and to the question when considering how a sugya will play out. And therefore, I think it does mean that if there is a posek, were to issue a ruling without having previously considered the human dimension, then at minimum there is something lacking in that psak, and perhaps in some cases I might say even disqualifying. It is not enough to just have the book knowledge. One must have the human and the life experience and knowledge and insight as well. And therefore I think what the Brisa is coming to teach us is that only through a dynamic interplay between the Toras Emes and the Toras Chesed can we achieve a Toras Chaim, a vibrant, a living Torah, which is grounded absolutely in a mastery of the sources with a loyalty and fidelity and an integrity to the halachic process, but at the same time, it is a Toras Chesed, one which takes into account the Binas Halev, the human component, and other intangible fit chelik of Shulchan Aruch factors, and mixing that all together, posek, with experience, with halachic intuition, refined by years and years and hours of immersion in the sources, experience in life, can then lead to a proper psak, a Toras Chaim. So what we have seen, briefly, is that Binas or Sichlas Halev, or both, teach us a number of things. We have to learn with depth, not by rote and not superficially, but with iyun and concentration. We have to review, but the review itself can't be by rote. We should think about not only what we're learning, and what's the question, but anticipate the next steps, the logical and more easily anticipated results and next steps of what we're doing, and that logic should be able to control our emotions. We shouldn't allow our emotions to cloud our judgment and control our logic. And last but not least, the need for emotional intelligence, the awareness in life and in learning, and especially in psak, of the human dimension of every question and every situation.